This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sister Shamima emails and asks that my father passed away and I wanted to attend his funeral and also go to his actual janazah, but then I was told that it is haram for a lady to go to the funerals and to attend the janazah. Can you please shed some light on this issue?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
So we begin by stating that the general rule is that any ruling that comes in our Sharia applies to both genders unless we find explicit evidence that this is a gender specific issue. And when it comes to the janazah, it is well known that in early Islam, our Prophet ﷺ initially forbade people from visiting the graveyards. And then he asked Allah's permission to visit his mother's grave, Amina. And then he said that I used to forbid you from visiting graveyards. Then Allah allowed me to visit my mother's grave. So now I am telling you, go and visit graves because it reminds you of the Akhirah. So this is a generic ruling right now. Both men and women, that right now we say it is generic. And there's another hadith as well, the famous hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, that whoever follows the janazah of a Muslim with iman and expecting Allah's reward, that person who continues until there is going to be a dafn, the person will come back with two mountains of good deeds. And each of these mountains is like the Mount of Uhud. So whoever follows in janazah until the burial takes place and then comes back will get the reward of two large mountains. This is a general rule that as of yet would apply to both. But there are a number of traditions in which women are specifically mentioned. So we need to examine these. The most authentic, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, and the most explicit, and essentially this will be my verdict because it is very clear. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Umm Atiyyah, one of the famous Sahabiyat, she said, نُهِينَا عَنِ اتِّبَاعِ الْجَنَائِزِ وَلَمْ يُعْزَمْ عَلَيْنَا. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. We were forbidden, we meaning the women folk, we were forbidden from following the janazah, but at the same time, it wasn't made a strict issue. وَلَمْ يُعْزَمْ عَلَيْنَا. We weren't told to do so in a very strict manner. The general rule we were told not to follow, but it wasn't enforced. It was something that we weren't told is a very severe thing. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And there are a number of traditions in which scholars have differed over the authenticity. The next hadith that we'll do is in Abu Dawood, and scholars have differed. Is it Hassan? Is it Da'if? That the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, لَعْنَ اللَّهُ زَائِرَاتُ الْقُبُورِ, and in one version, زَوَّارَاتُ الْقُبُورِ. Allah's la'na is upon the females who visit or who frequently visit the graves and who put candles on it. وَالْمُتَّخِينَ عَلَيْهِ سُرَجَ, and those who put candles on the graves. So there's a discussion, is this hadith authentic or not? And those who make it authentic, then they divide into two camps. Is the meaning those ladies who do jahili practices and they bring the candles to the grave? Or is the meaning those ladies who merely visit the graves? So there's yet another level of meaning now. What is the meaning of this hadith? Those ladies who go and they will do, because in the days of jahiliya, you know, it is instilled, I think, in the Chinese culture, I think, or the Japanese culture, that when somebody dies, they hire professional mourners. Do you know of this thing, that they hire professional mourners, and the mourners will come and they will cry out in a professional manner and they will evoke the emotions of the people. You know, it is human nature. When everybody is crying, you will feel sad. When everybody's nervous, you will feel nervous. When everybody's happy, you will feel happy. So the purpose of these mourners is to bring about an atmosphere of wailing and sadness. And the Jahili Arabs had this practice, well known. And that's why there are so many ahadith that are forbidding this. So, the question, does this hadith follow the same genre that what is being forbidden is those ladies? Or, because the phrase says, those ladies who visit graves and put candles on it. So they would go and they would surround the grave and they would put candles and do various things. So what is being forbidden? Ladies visiting or the jahili custom of hiring out those professional mourners, and they will wail and they will do a particular type of chanting and whatnot. What is being forbidden? That is another issue as well. And then there's a hadith that is definitely weak. So this one in Abu Dawud, it's a controversy. Some have made it hasan, some have made it da'if. And then the third hadith, which is definitely weak, which is in Ibn Majah, that it is narrated that our Prophet ﷺ saw some women coming back from a janazah, and he said to the ladies, "Did you carry the janazah?" They said, "No." Then he said, "Did you shroud the janazah?" They said, "No." He said, "Did you put it in the ground and bury it?" I mean, did you do any of the physical labor, what that men do? Men carry it, men shroud it, men put it in, men dig the grave, men do it. So he's asking the one by one. They said, "No, no, no." And then he said, "Then you have come back carrying evil, not carrying good deeds." Okay? And this hadith is very clearly weak, and also even the wording that the Prophet is not the nature of the hadith to put down in such a harsh manner when they, so anyway, the isnad is weak in any case. So these are the three main hadith in this regard. Based on these three, our four madhabs then extracted from these hadith. And the madhab that was the most willing for the women to go to the janaiz was the Maliki madhab. Essentially, the Maliki madhab considered these hadith to indicate only those women who are doing un-Islamic practices, i.e. the wailing and the shouting, and the they had a type of, I'm not going to call it poetry, but they had phrases they would say, okay? So for example, "This is the biggest calamity, how will we live after this, who will take care of us, our rock has disappeared." So they have phrases. These phrases are phrases of jahiliyyah. So they had this professional means of doing it, and especially it was something the women did, and it was associated with feminine mourning of the graves. Men did not do this, it is the women that did it. So the Malikis understood all of this applies to that category of ladies, not to ladies, full stop. And so essentially, As-Sawi in his book, interpretation of Muwatta Imam Malik, Hashiyat al-Sawi it's called, he says that it is ja'iz, it is allowed for an elderly lady without any conditions to go attend the janazah, and it is ja'iz for a young lady to go if she is appropriately dressed and the janazah is of her close relative. Okay? Now remember, in that society, young ladies did not exit the house at all except for a reason. So the Maliki madhab is saying this is one of those reasons where she's allowed to go. If her brother, if her father, if her uncle passes away, then she can go as long as she observes Islamic etiquette in her libas and also in what she says and does. Okay, this is the Maliki madhab. They are on one side. In the smack in the middle is the Hanbali and the Shafi'i madhab. Both the Hanbalis and Shafi'is, they said that it is not haram, but neither is it ja'iz, it is makruh. And makruh means it's best not to do. But if you do it, you are not sinful. Okay? This is the position of the Hanbalis and of the, which one? Shafi'is. This is the explicit position. Imam An-Nawawi says that, Imam An-Nawawi says in his Majmu' that, what we mentioned that it is makruh for the women to follow the janaiz, this is our madhab and the madhab of the vast majority of ulama. Ibn al-Mundhir said this is the position of Ibn Mas'ud, of Ibn Umar, of Abu Umama, of Aisha, of Masruq, of Hassan al-Basri, al-Naqai, Imam Ahmad ibn al-Hanbal, Ishaq ibn Rahway, al-Thawri, al-Awza'i, so on and so forth. And Imam al-Qurtubi, the famous scholar from Cordova, Spain, Andalus, Imam al-Qurtubi said, the explicit hadith of Ummi Atiyyah clearly shows that it is merely discouraged and not haram, and this is the vast majority of our ulama. This is Al-Qurtubi says, okay? The hadith of Ummi Atiyah is which one? We were told not to follow the janaiz, but we weren't told in a strict way. Well, it wasn't enforced. It wasn't something that was made a big deal of if people did. So, the strictest in this regard is of course the one madhab that is left, and it is the Hanafi madhab. And the Hanafi madhab, they did not make it haram, but they said it is makruh karaha tahrimi. not karahatan zihi. The Hanafis have two types of makruh, right? The other madhabs have one type of makruh. I mentioned this in an earlier Q&A that I did. The Hanafis have two types of makruh. One in which there is a small amount of sin, one in which there is no sin. Okay? So, makruh karaha tanzihi, there's no sin. Makruh karaha tahrimi, there's an amount of sin, but not like sin going to Jahannam. That's haram stuff. That's like the big stuff, right? And the Hanafi categorization is actually more sensible, as I said before. Nonetheless, they said, this is makruh karaha tahrimi. That there shall be an amount of sin, but not a large amount of sin. Like basically, it's not good, and really she should not go, and if she goes, then she has committed a minor sin. This is the Hanafi position. And that's why in our cultures of India, Pakistan, and other Hanafi cultures, basically it is unheard of or unknown that the women go. But in Arab and other cultures, it is not as strict of an issue in many Arab cultures because of the madhab issue. Also, there are other narrations as well that the other scholars use. Of them, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ was walking and he saw a lady sitting at a qabr crying. Okay? And it is very clear, by the way, because at that time frame, the only qabr they had was Baqir. Okay? So the lady is sitting there at the qabr, crying, not wailing. Big difference. Crying is halal. Crying, no sin. Wailing, what is wailing? To raise your voice and to say phrases of jahiliyyah and to beat oneself, this is what is haram. But to cry and to feel sad is completely not only halal, it's a sign of humanity. So he passed by a lady, hadith is in Bukhari, she's sitting at the qabr, and it was the qabr of her husband or the one who was to take care of her, and she's crying. And the Prophet ﷺ said, oh, servant of Allah, female servant of Allah, be patient. Be patient and expect Allah to reward you. He gave her words of what? Encouragement. Had it been haram, had it been sinful, then he would not have said this. She did not recognize him and she said, you don't know what I have suffered. You don't know who this, you know, the level of whatnot, you know, and she said something very harsh, go away from here. إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي. And the Prophet, in his adab, he left. And one of the Sahaba later said, don't you know who, what did you just say? Do you know who this person was? She didn't recognize because she was in her grief, you know. So then she rushed up. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't recognize you. Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. And the Prophet did not get angry, but he said a very powerful phrase. What is the phrase? Innama as-sabru 'inda sadmatil ula. Patience is demonstrated at the first stroke of calamity. How you react when you first hear the news, how you react in the first few minutes and half hour, that shows patience. Everybody calms down in a week. Everybody. How you react as soon as you hear the news, meaning, he's saying in a very gentle manner, you weren't patient. That's what he was telling the lady. But the point is, very clearly, she's sitting at the qabr, and he's giving her words of encouragement. Also, more explicit than this and much more powerful, in multiple narrations, we know that Aisha radiallahu anha, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, she of course remained in her house completely. She never exited the house because of the verses of hijab that were extra upon the Prophet ﷺ. However, she wanted to go for Hajj, so she asked permission from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And so that year, all of the wives, except for one, listen to my lectures, otherwise the Prophet went over all of this, all of the wives, they went for Hajj in a special caravan, in a special entourage, with special guards that are going to take them for Hajj. And on the way back, it is narrated in multiple texts, without a question, this is authentic, she went to the grave of her brother, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. He was buried outside of Mecca. And so she went there and she walked to the grave and she made dua for her brother. And I'll quote you one of these narrations that Abdullah ibn Abi Mulaika says that Aisha came back one day from the graveyard and I said, oh Umm al-Mu'mineen, where did you go? She said, I came back from the qabr of my brother Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. Abdurrahman is the brother who took her for Umrah after Hajj, if you remember Masjid Aisha, Tan'im, right? Her brother Abdurrahman was the one who took her and then took her back. That was Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr. And he passed away in the khilafah of, I think, Umar radiallahu anhu. And so, Ibn Abi Mulaika says, Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid women from visiting qabr? This is a very explicit hadith. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say you're not supposed to go? And Aisha says, yes, we used to be forbidden, and then he allowed us to visit. Okay, and this hadith is in Bayhaqi and Hakim. Yes, it used to be forbidden, then he allowed us. And in another version, when she visited the grave, she made dua. She stood at the grave, she made dua for her brother, and then she said, if I had been here to witness your burial, I wouldn't have come to your grave. Meaning, the point is, I don't want to be out of my house. I would go to the Kaaba and come back. But I wasn't witnessing. I wasn't there when you were lowered. I wasn't there to pray janazah over you. I was in Medina. So if I had witnessed your janazah, I wouldn't have done this detour. And I would have gone straight home. Okay? So the point is that she went there. Now, other scholars respond and they say, the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha went, that's her opinion. And the ahadith of the Prophet are there. To which we respond, technically that's a valid point. But the opinion of Aisha is no joke, especially in feminine matters. And she knows feminine fiqh better than other later interpreters. Others say that she didn't actually visit the grave of her qabr of her brother, but it happened to be next to the road. And the response is, this is an assumption that has no basis, number one. Number two, there is no qabr that is literally on the road that you're going there. There is a small graveyard wherever there was. And the point is, she herself explicitly says, if I had witnessed your janazah, I wouldn't have come here. Which means she's going out of her way. Why? Because those who say that it is not allowed, they say, we must interpret that Aisha didn't go visit the grave. The grave was on her path. You see the difference, right? And they say, if you're walking and there's a grave there, you're not visiting. And this is a stretch. Like can you imagine the qabr is right next to when she's walking between Makkah and Medina? She's going to the small little village that he passed away. There's a qabr there. And the wording is clear that I have come here because I wasn't able to witness your janazah. So this doesn't hold much weight. And then they say, those that say that it is not allowed, they say that the very fact that she says, had I witnessed your janazah, I wouldn't have come, shows she knew that the default is that women should not come to the graves. You understand where they're coming from? Right? Do you understand this point? The very fact that she's saying, had I witnessed your janazah, I wouldn't have come, it means she knows women should not come to the graveyards. To respond to this, two things. Number one, if it was haram, even if she didn't witness the janazah, would she be able to come? If it were sinful, would she publicize that I'm with? So this actually proves that it is not haram at all, because she's announcing it. And number two, you are assuming she's not going to the grave because of the prohibition of women, but there's another more explicit assumption that she doesn't want to go to the grave because she's supposed to be in hijab, which is explicit in the Quran. Right? That Allah explicitly says in the Quran that remain in your hijab, remain in your houses and don't go out. So she only exited for Hajj, and it could easily be interpreted that if I had witnessed your janazah, I would have rushed straight back and I would not have done the detour because I want to get back to my house. Not because of the prohibition, but because she wants to be in her house, which is the wives of the Prophet. So to summarize this question, then we move on to the second one. It is clear, those who wish to follow the Hanafi madhab, no problem. It is makruh, karaha, tahrimi. And I respect, as you know my position, I have no problem. I think it's good if somebody follows their madhab, no problem with that. That having been said, we also have to be very sensitive that times have changed. And our women are no longer sitting at home as they did for much of Islamic history. And what is happening is that we are depriving them of the most essential places they need to be, like the masjid, for example, right? It is true, some scholars of the past said, you know, let the women stay at home, when women would stay at home. And they said, no need for them to come to the masjid, even though the hadith is clear, she should come if she wants to. But there are some madhabs that said that. But in a society, and at a place and time, where our wives, our daughters, our mothers are, and I'm not saying this is positive, I'm just giving it factually, they go everywhere, like as if there is nothing in exiting the house. The notion of remaining in the house is not even known to them. It is gone from the minds of our women. And I'm not saying that as a good thing or as a bad thing. I'm simply saying it as a fact. That notion is gone. To bring up these issues and then say, yeah, go ahead, do your shopping. Go Kroger's, do your education. No, they should do education, don't get me wrong here. I'm just saying, go everywhere, but don't come to the masjid. Do everything. When your father dies, don't go to the qabr. You see, in this society and in this mindset, if we keep on pushing them into a corner, the reaction might be an illegitimate anger in which they say, khalas, we're going to take over, give the khutbah from now on. Okay, I was in Los Angeles on the weekend, and there's a masjid there that is only women. No men are allowed inside. Khutbah is given by the women, all run by the women. Everything is there. Now, I'm not criticizing publicly. I'm not definitely not endorsing. But I will say one thing. If you keep on pushing, what's going to happen? So my philosophy, and I'll be very explicit about this, where the Sharia allows some leeway, give that leeway. Where the Sharia has some breathing room, then alhamdulillah, give. And where the Sharia has a red line, that is where we need to enforce. Because if you want to keep on moving the red line back, don't be surprised. In our time frame, to tell a daughter that she cannot go to the janazah of her father, she will literally say, what type of religion is that? I can't even come and witness. What we should say, look, men and women are allowed to go, but there must be proper decorum. You observe the etiquettes. No wailing, no screaming, no shouting. And if there is a fear that might happen, then we tell this lady, think twice. And if you insist on going, we will have other ladies there that if that happens, you will be, taken out, that this is not appropriate, that at a wedding, and by the way, at a funeral, by the way, this is something that I have witnessed myself. So it's not just hearsay, that women are not told this, and they attend the janazah, and especially if it's a sudden death, right? And you have, a young lady screaming at the top of her lungs, just bawling and saying things that are not appropriate to be said. You know, it's not something that of Islam that you say, how are we going to live now? Who's going to take care of me? Allah took care of you, not this man. Allah took care of you, not your husband or brother or father. But at that emotional state, if you say something, I can't live anymore, astaghfirullah, that person was giving you life, Allah is hayyun qayyum. So this is where we draw the red line. These are the battles we should be fighting. And we say very clearly, that is something that should not be done. Nonetheless, if somebody wants to follow the other madhab, then I have, that's their business. But the other three madhabs, they say it is not sinful to do. And that is the position I hold, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال